beginning in verse number 1. The word maskol. Does your Bible have that little headline in the front of it? It says an instruction, maskol of Ethan, the Ezraite. And if you look up that word, it means instruction. So he's giving instruction, and so here we go. And I'll be honest with you, I almost start singing this first line because it's a song that we sing sometimes. It goes like this. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness, also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Then skip down to verse 24. You're going to get a theme here. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Then we're handpicking verses a little bit, but you'll see why in a minute. Verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. So this evening, I want to talk to you. We looked last Sunday night at the faithful men. Today, I want us to look at the faithfulness of God. And in the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness by Thomas Chisholm, he sings, Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. What does that mean? Well, you can look in James. It talks about the fact that he doesn't change. He is the same. You're not going to come up on him and he's having a bad day and he's not going to bite your head off. Okay? He's always the same. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. And then the refrain is for each of the verses. Great is thy faithfulness, twice, and then morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Why? Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Then he goes, the next verse, talking about the sun. Now, you look in Genesis, it talks about how that summer and winter they'll not fail. We'll always have the seasons. Well, summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars and their courses above. Why do they stay there? Why do we have the different seasons? Well, it's because God is in control. Join with all nature in manifold wisdom to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Last verse says, pardon for sin and peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. And then great is thy faithfulness. Do we understand that God is faithful? And it's really easy for us to think about faithfulness. First way we oftentimes think of faithfulness is between a husband and wife. We think about if one is not true to the other, they're being unfaithful, and that's not good. Well, if you take it to the workplace, someone that you're just not sure if they're going to show up or not, that you can count on them. here they are, they've got a particular role that they need to play, or they've got a particular job, it's going to leave you in a bad way for them not to show up. Faithfulness at work, it goes a long way. And really, we understand the importance of faithfulness. Well, what about the importance of God's faithfulness? It's very important that God is faithful to us. In fact, we count on it heaps and heaps. And the songwriter, he hit many of those things, not only in creation, but in our salvation. So what is God's faithfulness? What is God's faithfulness? One writer described it as this: the faithfulness of God is His utter and unflagging commitment to keep every syllable of every word of every promise He has ever made. Faithfulness is a quality of God woven into His eternal essence that makes His every word entirely and exactly true, thus trustworthy, thus worthy of our wholehearted faith. And so God's word is true. Everything that God says, we can count on. And how do we know what God says? We have it recorded in His word. So we know that God's word, everything that He says is true. Everything. And well, how does the Bible describe God's faithfulness? Well, if you were to describe me to someone, you might say, well, he's a bloke that's going bald. He's in his 50s. He wears glasses. He's sort of tall. And he's the pastor of Grace Baptist Church. He's married, got some kids. Well, how is it that we would describe God's faithfulness? What kind of words would we use to describe God's faithfulness? Well, first off, I'll get you to look at is Lamentations. Oh, I read that to you and I didn't show it to you, did I? The definition of faithfulness, the description of God's faithfulness: they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. And if you look back at his verse 22, it talks about his everlasting love, his faithfulness. He is all the time never stopping, never giving in on loving us. He's always going to love us. His faithfulness is every day there. And the Bible verse tells us, first of all, his description of it is that it's great. We have a great hope. We have a great God and Savior. We also have a God whose faithfulness is great. In fact, if you'll notice, Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, the glory of God's faithfulness is that no sin of ours has ever made Him unfaithful. He's always showing us that grace. He's always showing us that grace. Next, Psalm 89, verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from Him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. His faithfulness is unfailing. It will not stop. There's nothing that we can do, nothing that we can say that will stop His faithfulness. In fact, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he stays true to His word. He's always going to be true to His word, no matter whether we do what our part is or not. God is always faithful. So His truths, His faithfulness is unfailing. And it just keeps on and keeps on and keeps on, even though ours doesn't. Now, the word faithfulness is hidden in this verse, but it's there. Okay? And it says in Exodus 34, 6, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" So the word there, truth, you take that to your Strong's Concordance or you look it up in your Greek or your Hebrew dictionary. Guess what the main word for it is? It's God's faithfulness. And that is exactly what God is. He is a God of goodness and truth. Well, in what way is He a God of goodness and truth? Well, He's abounding in it. The word abundant is the word abounding. In other words, there's just so much. He's never going to run out. He's always going, there's always much supply of it. Just like God is a God of all grace, He is a God who is abounding in faithfulness. He'll never run out, and we don't have to worry about Him getting tired of us. He is faithful. Psalm 33, 4, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all of His works are done in truth." Again, that word truth is the word faithfulness. Now, what can we learn? How did the psalmist describe the Lord's faithfulness? Well, God's faithfulness is active. God's faithfulness is active. It says all His works are done in faithfulness. So God's faithfulness is toward us, and He's active in looking after His creation. He's active in looking after us. Scripture says that He neither slumbers nor sleeps. So God's faithfulness is active. It's all the time moving. There's not a place, Psalm 139 tells us, that we can be where we have to say, "God, are You here?" There's no place on earth, under the earth, or in heaven, no situation or circumstance that we have to wonder, well, is God there? He's everywhere. He's at work. So His faithfulness, Him being there, His caring, He's always there. Deuteronomy 7, 9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." He is not only great, He is true, but notice here in this verse that His faithfulness is powerful. And it says there two or three times that He describes His grace or whose grace it is. He says, "The Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God." So He is the one that's in control. Psalm 36, 5, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in heaven, in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." His faithfulness is everywhere. And it's everywhere present. No matter where we go, again, His faithfulness is there. Psalm 89:8, which we looked at just a moment ago, "O Lord God of hosts, who is strong? Who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee?" God's faithfulness is holy. And that means unique. It means it's not like anyone else's. And so with work, we get sick, things happen, and we're not able to come. Things happen, we give our word to someone, and either traffic or some circumstance may keep us from keeping our appointment. Well, God's faithfulness is like none other. His faithfulness is so that what He says, as in the definition, whatever He said, He will always fulfill it. He is holy in His faithfulness. He is like none other in keeping His word. Psalm 119:90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Again, His faithfulness is eternal. It's for all generations. He's going to be faithful. You know, sometimes we wonder, is it really okay for us to have children? In fact, the world is getting worse and things are getting, is becoming more violent. It's becoming more corrupt. Is it really a good idea to have children, bring them into this ungodly world sometimes? Well, absolutely. Why? Well, God is faithful. God is still going to be the same God. From now on, He's always God. He's always in control. And then notice in 1 Corinthians 1:9, turn there with me just for a minute, and actually we need to look around these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's easier for me to just make mention of them than to add too many more slides. He says in verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched in Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then our verse, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's a book that Jim Berg wrote entitled, God is More Than Enough. And God has more than enough faithfulness. Throughout our life, I was saved April 24th, 1983, 2 days before I was 16 years old. His grace was sufficient for me as a little 15-year-old boy. Well, His grace was sufficient for me when I was 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55. And if the Lord allows me to reach 60, His grace will be sufficient for then too. And then 65, 70. And what I'm saying is just like He that has begun a good work in you, He's able to enrich us with all things. He doesn't just work in our life when we're just getting, in our Christian life, when we're just getting started. He continues to work. And it's a continuing work. He doesn't say, okay, I'm going to put you on the shelf. I'm going to stop working with you. His faithfulness, it just continues to grow, just continues to work with us. And so that's one of the wonders of His grace and of His faithfulness. Hebrews 11:11 says that God's faithfulness is amazing. Notice through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Well, how long and at what age did she first receive this promise? Well, I reckon she first received, if she's 10 years younger than Abraham, she got this promise that she and Abraham were going to have a baby between themselves when she was 60 and Abraham was 70. And so 70 came around for, 80 came around for, no baby yet. But notice, she believed God's word. And I realized she had those times where when the angel said, you're going to have a baby, that she laughed to herself. But it says there that she judged him faithful who had promised. And may I just say, when the Lord says that He's going to look after us, He does. And when He says He's going to help us, when He says He's going to be faithful, He will. In Genesis 21:1, we'll be looking at that in just a little bit, but It says there that the Lord promised and it was so. He said it and He did it. And so that's exactly what the Lord does. No matter how hard it looks, that's exactly what He does. The deeds of God's faithfulness. What does God's faithfulness do? So we've looked at the definition, the description. What are the deeds of God's faithfulness? First of all, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. In Genesis 21:1, the verse that I just basically mentioned, notice there that the Lord visited Sarah just as He said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. Now really, only one of those is necessary. He could have just said, and the Lord visited Sarah as He said. That's sufficient. But He doubles down and He says, the Lord visited Sarah as He said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. He doubles and says, you know what? God is faithful to what He says. So what are the deeds of the Lord's faithfulness? Well, He's going to do what He says. He will not make a promise. Whether it's a promise of eternal life, whether it's a promise of forgiveness of sin, whether it's a promise of giving us grace to help when we're going through a difficulty, whether it's His faithfulness, His being with us, He's going to fulfill every one of His promises. In Psalm 119:75, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in Thy faithfulness hath afflicted me. Now turn with me to Psalm 119 just for a moment. I want us to look at that because oftentimes we look at affliction, we look at troubles in our life as something to avoid. And I must admit, you ask me if I'm going to avoid them tomorrow. Yes, I probably will. But that's our thing. That's what we think. Okay, I got to avoid trouble at all costs. But notice in verse 168, it was good for me that I have been afflicted. I know in our verse here, 71, thank you. Just verse 71? Thank you. There it is. It is good in verse 71 of Psalm 119. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. So here we are, and He says, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou and Thy faithfulness have afflicted me. Well, why is it that the Lord has to allow afflictions in our life? Why is it that He does that? Well, Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 1 that sometimes afflictions are needed. Sometimes they're needed to help us grow. Joni Erickson Tada, who we've mentioned before, I think we did it on a couple of Sunday mornings ago. In her experience, she was basically paralyzed from her neck down when she was 17 years old. And she really didn't understand why the Lord allowed that to happen. She really struggled with that. And she learned more and more about the Lord. And this is what she said about her afflictions. She says, our afflictions are designed not to break us, but to bend our hearts toward God. And I think that's what the psalmist said in Psalm 119:71. You know what? It's good for me that I've been afflicted. And he says, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, that Thou in Thy faithfulness has afflicted me. The Lord wants us to constantly go toward Him. He wants us to constantly, if we're going to bend one way or another, He wants us to go toward Him. And so that's what He does. God in His faithfulness hears our prayers. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In Thy faithfulness answer me, and in Thy righteousness. Sometimes in our eyes, the kids will say, Mr. Gillum, who made God? And I'll say, no one made God. Psalm 90, verse 2 says that God was there before He created the first mountain, and God will always be there for eternity. And it blows their mind just like it does mine. And I tell them, you know what? It's a good thing that God has always been and that He always will be. Why? Because when we pray, we don't have to say, well, Lord, are You still there? Are You going to faithfully answer my prayer? We can know that He, in His faithfulness, He answers our prayers, and in His righteousness. And then in our verse from this morning, 1 Corinthians 10:13, in our memory verse, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. The word temptation is a test, an exam. And lots of different kind of tests. There's physical tests. There's a relationship test. There's emotional tests. There's all kinds. There's a financial test. Well, these tests are given. The devil provides them to see if he can get us to sin. That's what he did to Job. God, let me at him for just a little bit. I'll get him to sin. But God says, no, that's not why I do it. God says, I allow the trials to come, the difficulties to come, to strengthen us, to help us to learn to trust Him better. Well, there's no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you or suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So the Lord, He is faithful in our test. He is always there. I still remember, and I know I've told you before, I remember I was in high school, year 12 student. I was going through some kind of difficult time. And I remember being very upset on my way home from school. And I remember deciding that my pastor's house was on the way home. I remember saying, you know what, I'll stop and talk to my pastor if he's outside. And it just so happens that he was mowing his yard. So he got off his lawnmower and he came and sat down at the picnic bench with me. And I said, Brother Barry, nothing's going right for me. It just seems like God doesn't care about me and nothing's going right. And I said, I've searched my life the best I can. And I'm trying to live for Him. And he said this. He just stopped me. And he said, Kelly, he says you're in a trial. You're in a temptation. In a test. He says, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Just don't go by your feelings. Don't go by how well things are going or how well things are not going. Just keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on the Lord. And you know what? I actually went away from there. So relieved. It just blessed my heart. As a 17-year-old boy, the Lord just touched my heart and said, you know what? I can trust Him. I can trust Him. So we can trust God in the difficulties that we face too. Not to put so much pressure on us that we have to sin. He's not going to do that. He may let the trial, the testing that we face be very difficult. But if we respond wrongly to it, it's not because He made us do it. It's because we chose to. He wants us to trust Him. God is faithful. So let's trust Him in that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, again. This is His faithfulness in our everyday actions. He is going to work in us. You know what? If you know Christ is your Savior this evening, you are living the Christian life with Christ. He's working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's the one that's called you to Himself. He's the one that's going to give you the grace and the strength to live for Him. So it's His faithfulness. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So the Lord is the one that establishes us. Yes, we make choices, but But He is the one that establishes us. He's the one that looks after us in our suffering. 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their soul to Him in well-doing as a faithful Creator. The Creator, He knows everything about us. He knows how we were being shaped in our mom's belly. He knows our personality. He knows our shortcomings. He knows our frailties. He knows where we're not as strong. He knows our strong points. And because of that, He is a faithful Creator in our suffering. Whatever He's allowing, we just need to trust Him. Keep trusting Him. Keep trusting Him because He is a faithful Creator. Not only that, but He is faithful to forgive us of our sins. If we confess our sins, that word confess means to say the same thing about. It's not like if you smack your brother and you say to your brother, you're told to go apologize to your brother, and you say, I'm sorry if I hit you. What do you mean you're sorry if you hit him? Did you hit him? Well, the idea there is if we confess our sins, if we say the same thing about our sin that God does, well, is our sin, does it separate us from God? Is our sin a lie? Then we confess it as a lie. If our sin is anger, do we confess it, Lord, I sinned in my anger? If we say the same thing about our sins that God calls it, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's not like the Lord is saying, okay, you got to say it right. You got to say it right. But the idea is that he that regardeth iniquity in his heart, God won't hear his prayer. If we're guarding our sin, if we're saying, oh, it really wasn't that bad, then that's a problem. But you know what? The beautiful part, getting back to this faithfulness, what's wonderful is that He is faithful and He is just to forgive us. He has the right. He can forgive sin. Who can forgive sin but God only? The Pharisee said, exactly. He can forgive sin and He will forgive sin. There's a song that they used to sing in my home's church, What Sin Are You Talking About? I don't remember it anymore. From the book of life, it's all been washed out. You know what? That's what He does with our sin. He forgives us. And then, lastly, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. One day the Lord will faithfully come and set everything right. He will set everything right. Lastly, the declaration of God's faithfulness. If you're at Psalm 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. We need to let others know about His faithfulness to us. He is faithful. So we need to declare it to others. Verse number 5 says basically the same thing, that he was going to praise the Lord and let others know. And so do we let others know that our God is faithful? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your faithfulness. I pray that You would help us to know that faithfulness every day. And Father, even when it seems like, according to circumstances, that You're letting down, You're not. Help us to trust You. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.